Please stand for the reading of the scripture. Our scripture today is from Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17 from the Common English Bible. During the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man with his wife and two sons went from Bethlehem of Judea to dwell in the territory of Moab. The name of that man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judea. They entered the territory of Moab and settled there. But Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Then only she was left, along with her two sons. They took wives for themselves, Moabite women. The name of the first was Orpah, and the name of the second was Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. But both of the sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died. Only the woman was left, without her two children and without her husband. Then she arose, along with her daughter-in-laws, to return from the field of Moab, because while in the territory of Moab, she had heard that the Lord had paid attention to his people by providing food for them. She left the place where she had been, and her two daughters-in-laws went with her. They went along the road to return to the land of Judea. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, turn back, each of you, to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide for you so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. But they replied to her, "No, instead we will return with you, to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb that they would be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters. Go. I am too old for a husband. If I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and even more if I were to bear sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you refrain from having a household? No, my daughters. This is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will has come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people and to her gods. Turn back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and more so even death, if even death separates me from you." This is the word of God for a people of God.
You may be seated. Nice job, Vicki. Vicki was not happy with me when she realized how long the scripture was this morning. Scripture is one that is maybe familiar a little bit to you in that you might have heard it at a wedding. Sometimes the Ruth scripture that your people will be my people is read. Interesting because it's pretty much out of context. It's not a woman pledging to be with a man. It's a woman pledging to be faithful to her mother-in-law. There's a ton that we don't know about this scripture. What we do know is that these are folks that are desperately trying to survive. They're in famine, which at that time, of course, was even worse than what famine would be for us in these days. Scholars don't even know for certain when this was written, but the clue is because later on the story reveals Israelites marrying foreigners, a practice that was discussed after the exile, we can guess that it was sometime between the 5th and 4th centuries BCE. So that's the most likely time period that this was written, some 400 to 500 years before Jesus' ministry. This story, this ancient text, reminds us of the importance of community and family, and not necessarily our biological families. Often what ends up being our families of choice. It also reminds us of the importance and our willingness to change, although at times that is incredibly difficult. That ability that we all have to adapt when we're faced with something that seemed inconceivable just days ago. Situations that could very well pull us under when that stuff happens. You know, weather messes with our lives and livelihoods and threatens our homes. When life partners die, when beloved spouses are no longer sitting in worship with us, when at times the children do not outlive their parents, and when we struggle to figure out how we begin again, and everything in our life is marked from that moment forward. We do not know how, but even after Naomi lost her husband, her sons died. And in the ancient world, the sons were who took the mother, and her sons would have cared for the daughters-in-law. And now all of their support system was gone. There were no social service systems in the ancient world. Naomi, of course, tried to convince her daughters-in-law to return to their people, to go home to their mothers and fathers, perhaps brothers and sisters, their original biological extended family. Orpah did, and Ruth refused. We don't know why Ruth refused. We only know that she did. And she spoke words of love and devotion and words between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you stay, I will stay, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. This is more of a statement of love and a commitment and deep devotion than we hear just about anywhere else in Scripture, particularly the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. I understand how these women are feeling on a personal level. I was blessed with an incredible mother-in-law. And on a personal level, I have a wonderful daughter-in-law. I get it, how they feel and felt about one another. But together, not only did Naomi and Ruth survive, they thrived. And together, interestingly enough, it's a long, long story. I didn't make you read all of it, Vicki. They end up returning to Naomi's home, which is Bethlehem. And Ruth's lineage then becomes very important because it all leads to and points to Jesus. It's why Ruth is one of the few women who is talked about to such a large extent in our Bible. So her friends were really surprised to see her. What the heck is she doing back here? Can this be Naomi? Scripture says. They wondered, and she responded saying this, "Don't call me Naomi," which meant pleasant. "Call me Mara," which means bitter. And she continued saying, "The Almighty has made me very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord returned me empty." We could understand that. There are those times of profound loss, when times that it seems impossible that anything's going to get better anytime soon. And times when we allow ourselves to be convinced that God's kind of messing with us. How did God let this happen to us? To me? And there are those times that it seems that maybe we're being punished. Quickly, we can go to that dark place, even though we know that's not who the God is that we worship and know loves us. It only takes one person saying, "Well, maybe God intended this to happen to you." Oh. There are those times, those seasons in our lives when it feels like living is a series of one bad thing after another. And famine might be the perfect metaphor for how we feel when we're going through those times. Empty. Naomi and Ruth could not see the possibilities. They only knew what bad place they were in. They couldn't imagine the good that was soon to come, and it did. The possibilities of good fortune that was just right around the corner, the happiness and all the success, all seemed impossible. Often we forget the happy endings of our own return to good fortune, especially when we're stuck in a new wallowing and despair and disappointment and just trying to hang on. We forget what we have already struggled through and what we have accomplished, all with God's help. So today, Carrie has volunteered to share her "This I Believe." And it could well be that we each need to embrace her belief so that we might move into the future with more hope. Carrie believes in possibilities. Will you join me as we pray? O loving, ever-present God, speak to us again this day. Help us. Move us out of our stuck places, our grief and disappointment, our frustration and fear. And help us embrace the possibilities you place before each of us. Help us move into action and do what it takes to live lives of purpose and meaning always. Oh God, do help me stay out of your way as I work to bring a fresh word to your people. Guide Carrie as she shares her thoughts this day. Help us each embrace the possibilities of this moment and of all the moments to come. Grateful for life and the promise of life eternal, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Carrie, you shared with me the experience that you felt was transformative, not just for you, but particularly for your grandson. That event is what led you to claim that you believe in possibilities. So, would you just share with us what happened and led you to make this claim? So you were worried about it.
Oh, I was worried. You know, it's like, and those of you who know being a grandparent, it's like, I didn't care with my kids. I mean, they screwed up, I didn't care. But my grandson gets up in front of 500 students,
600 students, yeah.
Okay. And Pat says, get your phone out. And my grandson goes up there, and they don't introduce him other than Giovanni rather than playing the drums. And Sal is up there, and Sal's daughter, to accompany him. And Gio is standing in front of what was called quads, the drums. Okay. And he starts to play. I've got my camera, you know, I can't stand very well anyway, so I'm, you know, kind of doing this, and all of a sudden, I key into my grandson and I see this incredible passion. And I began to weep behind my phone. And he gets to the point where it's going to end, and I wish you could share that video. But I know if we do that, everybody who's grandparents say, I got one. But anyway, Gio finished the drums. The kids went crazy. I was crying. My son was helping take the drums off the balcony. And I looked at my daughter-in-law, and I was just weeping. I said, Gio is a different person. And he got off the stage, and we were standing at the back against the wall, and he walked up to me, and I said, how was it? He said, it was awesome. And last night, he and I were talking, and I said, tell me what it felt like. When he walked off that stage, he said, man, I was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Transformation.
Yeah. So when we think of this in the context of people of faith, How would you shape that? If you were going to like maybe have an opportunity, like say over lunch, to talk to Gio about this, and you said, you know, it wasn't just you on that stage. What am I just putting too many words in your mouth? Can you see this as a God thing?
Let me tell you, in a lot of ways, and I my point of reference in life often is my passion about education and with children. And what I saw that day, first of all, my emotions, you know, Pastor Barbara said to me on more than one occasion, you know, that about the Holy Spirit. And I know my emotions were about God and the fact that my grandson was up on stage with a teacher that if he ever wanted to Google who inspires and motivates students more than anybody, it would be this man at Topeka High School. He left his job to come and accompany him. He brought his daughter, who's in college, to help Gio. All of that scene, the love that was together for him and the support that he got, to me was, I remember thinking one of the first things was, thank you, God. Mm. Thank you, God.
So it's easy for us to think we're alone and we can't do stuff. And we forget the support system that's holding us all up. I mean, I always wanted to be a drummer. My dad told me girls couldn't play the drum. So I'm really envious of you. I threw up to my dad often, you know, once Karen Carpenter came on the scene and was a drummer, and I said, Dad, look, it's a girl playing the drums. But what a wonderful reminder to all of us that we are all gifted in ways, and people help that gift be revealed. And so, you know, you were doubting your grandson, you were fearful for him. You were wanting to rescue him in case, you know, this was horrible. And God had placed in his life these wonderful people that helped him grow and reveal who he can be for years now. And if nothing else, I mean, you know, he may not be a professional drummer, but that confidence and that assuredness that at some point we all have to discover that God enables to happen. You know, we're not all the shy, fearful children that we once were because of people who helped us become someone different. So, Carrie, because of your wealth of experience with students and children, Do other times come to mind to you where you could see this transformation because of nurturing and coaching opportunities, possibilities that children had, that they became someone different?
Well, since you and I spoke this week, I've had another moment.
Okay.
And it happened yesterday. I have told some of you that my mother and her three sisters, who are all living, that have gathered together this week. Their ages are 80 to 89. And we have brought the Italian, this is the Italian side of the family, together. And we were all together yesterday at my brother's house. And my brother recently wrote my mother's biography. And wanting to talk about the fact she's a first-generation immigrant and what she went through as a child and her sisters and her brother and her parents. And it's a very beautiful book. It's a true gift to us. Well, in the process of that, my brother, who was 9 when our father died, I was 17, my brother's 13 and 9. My brother realized that none of us knew much about our father's military history in World War II. All we knew was that he had been on a ship that was torpedoed. Well, now we know that about this ship, and my brother wrote a book called Infantry Man about my dad. Unbelievable. We knew nothing about my father's military history. Yesterday, my son John, who is Giovanni's father, and my brother and my mother and other relatives were sitting around, and my brother Frank, who was in the Navy when he got out of the dental school, military man. My dad, we found out, had gotten a Bronze Star. I mean, just all this stuff we didn't know. And my brother said to my son, "Will you read this passage?" And my brother wrote this book. And the passage was about my brother's transformation in knowing his father. He never got a chance to know him. And he found pictures. He has a picture of my dad holding his rifle in the military. He said, "Those are my hands, Gary." So my son is reading this book. My son is in the military, and he began to weep. My brother was weeping. And it occurred to me in that moment, we had my mother, me, my son, and my grandsons all experiencing this reading. And my brother finally now knows his father.
Yeah.
And
so when
my son, who never got to meet his grandfather, knows his grandfather.
Yeah.
His son's a military man. This is an incredible moment.
So when he said, "Those are my hands," it's a photograph of your father's hands. And so he realized, he recognized hands that were on his body that connected him.
Yeah, my dad was a very smart man, and my brother's a very smart man, but they never really got to know each other, so learning about my dad.
So why in the heck did he do this book?
Well, he did it initially to learn about our father, but my brother's he researched everything about the medals that he won, because he has been, I realize now after 2 years, this is my brother's transformation. He never dealt with our father's death. He was 9. We never.
So he was open to this possibility that was before him. He was curious about his father that he didn't know. And I'm going to say there's God in all that.
Absolutely.
There's this huge spirit that moved him forward and continued him, and he found out more who he was and what he did.
It's changed the dynamics of our family in a good way.
I told everybody last week when we were doing this that there's a lot of this I don't know, and it's very organic, because obviously I didn't know that story because that just happened yesterday. But thanks for sharing that. I would encourage all of us to be sort of more intentional this week. I think I've heard some of you, probably Bill, say we need to be aware of our situation. We have to have better situational awareness, right? It's a military thing. And I think that when we have that situational awareness, we are more aware then of God's presence in our life, of God nudging us and encouraging us and supporting us. so that we can be more comfortable in those times that are tough and painful and scary, because we know that we're not alone, and that God, this, you know, we can claim, as odd as it might seem, I can do this because this is just a God thing. God's guiding me to do this. I can't do this on my own. I'm not that talented, but God can make this happen through me. And then when we multiply that, when we work with other people, you know, and then you're not just the drummer, you're part of a whole orchestra or band. You know, Ringo was a good drummer, but when Ringo became part of the Beatles, he really became something special. And that's what we all become when we are together and can do some phenomenal things. So let me just share with you just a little bit about the rest of Ruth's story, in case it's been a long time since you heard it. So they show up at this place, and they're still women without any support, right? So Ruth went to the fields to glean. You know, they used to leave leftover grain for the poor people to come and pick up. So she was gathering the grain left behind that wasn't harvested, but it just so happens, right, just so happens, another God thing. It wasn't just any field. It was a field from the Elimelech family. They were relatives of Naomi, and Boaz, maybe this story's coming back to you, was a wealthy, respected family member in charge of the harvest. So he welcomed Ruth and told her she wouldn't be harassed, and he wouldn't let any of the other men bother her. And he was sure that she had plenty of grain for herself and her mother-in-law. And then later, after discussions with the elders, this is one of those kind of juicy stories in the Bible, Boaz takes Ruth as his wife. Friends, it's a story of possibilities, and that's what all of our lives are, even at those times and seasons in our lives when we seem that the possibilities are all over and there are no new ones to come. That's what Naomi thought. I am too old. Why are you hanging out with me? I can't produce a son. I love that part of the scripture. Even if I could produce a son in my old age, are you going to hang around and wait? Boaz welcomed Ruth into his life, married her, and new life began. Possibilities. May we believe and welcome the holy within all of our possibilities. May we trust God in the midst of our pain and the healing possibilities. And as we, each of us, are continually transformed to become who God intends for us to be. And may we understand that God sent us Jesus Christ to connect us all with God's loving presence, God's loving, healing, reconciling, forgiving, ongoing, loving presence. May we embrace the possibility of God's love with us right now. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you for sharing with us.